You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
MMA.
Oh, man.
What does that stand for? Mixed Martial?
Whoa.
Arts? Yeah.
Oh, you almost had it. You almost had it. Well, thanks, Casey. That was an amazing improvised rap. Hi, everybody. Yeah, you guys have noticed, we got some brand spanking new energetic music. You know, it's appropriate, given that we're going to be talking about another UFC card going down this Saturday. UFC Vegas 35. This is the MMA Fighting Preview Show. I am your host for today, Alexander K. Lee. I am joined by an illustrious panel. It's really the only word you could use. First, I'll introduce everyone's favorite curmudgeon, Jose Youngs.
Why am I a curmudgeon? Why?
Just own it.
You're their favorite.
Own what?
Just own it.
You're the favorite curmudgeon. You're the favorite.
Yeah, you're a little. No one who reads that many comics, look at all those comics behind you, can be a 24/7 cheery person.
Listen, I took a 5-day vacation. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch any MMA for 5 days, and this is what I come back to.
Detox.
People MMA telling me detox. I'm a curmudgeon.
MMA just detox. Prove me wrong, Jose. Prove me wrong, because we're gonna have a great show. So please prove me wrong over the course of this show. And we are joined also by BTL veteran. I'll be honest, I didn't watch the episode this week. Are you the reigning champion? Jed Meshew.
I'm the champion, dude. Come on. The existing champion, though. I don't know if I'm going to be joining. I thought we were talking Paul Woodley. I didn't realize we were talking about the UFC card.
Well, this is just great. So, we will at some point this week going to be talking about Paul Woodley, but that event happens on Sunday evening. Today, we will be talking about UFC Vegas 35, which will be going down.
AK. There's a fourth person.
I was gonna say the man who people always say this and then they do it makes no sense. The man who literally requires no introduction, EKC Leiden in the try.
Yeah,
but now it's stupid that I said it, because then I introduced you.
Also,
you can't win.
I want to say I also didn't watch Between the Links this week because it's no longer a video series.
Oh, true. Podcastery. Yes. Anyone, please. If anyone hasn't been keeping an eye on the MMA Fighting podcast network, it is booming right now with all kinds of stuff. So please, guys, make sure you tune in. Maybe you won't get to see our beautiful faces as much as you're used to, but that's what this preview show is for. Again, you'll certainly see us again also when we do the Paul Woodley preview, which again, Jed, is not what this is. So we have a full card. It's a busy weekend. We've got what? PFL tonight, Invicta tonight, UFC on Saturday, and then Paul Woodley on Sunday. But we got ourselves a good main event, guys. Let's not look too far ahead. A good UFC main event. Edson Barboza versus Giga Chikadze, which I think is like a perfect piece of matchmaking. Maybe I'm wrong. Jose, I'll go to you first. And just what were your initial impressions of this fight when it was booked?
My initial impressions were finally, I'm pretty sure I've tweeted this 4 or 5 times asking for this fight specifically. After Brian Ortega and Korean Zombie fought, this became my new, I'm just going to tweet about this until this becomes a reality. I think the first one at time I did it was after Giga One on the first Jacksonville card. It was one of those first pandemic fights. I can't remember who we fought. I think it was a very last minute opponent. It was like one of the, I think a fighter actually went up in weight to fight him, and he was much more shorter. Giga kind of clowned on him for 15 minutes. And then immediately I was like, man, I would love to see him fight Edson Barboza, who was also fighting later that afternoon. I think that was when Edson Barboza, quote unquote, lost to Dan Ige. And Giga Chikadze had said he wanted to fight Edson Barboza ever since. Because if you remember, Edson Barboza decapitated Benil Dariush, was one of the knockouts of the year when it happened. And Giga and Benil Dariush are, I think, main training partners. Like, if one of them gets a fight, the other one flies in just to specifically train. So I've been asking for this fight for a better part of the last 18 months. So I am absolutely ecstatic that not only that it's happening, but that it's 25 minutes rather than 15 minutes.
Yes, this is a main event worthy fight. I think it'd be really disappointing if this was just shoved in some co-main somewhere. Even on a pay-per-view, I think we'd all just rather see it on a main card. It's a great showcase fight. I think this will be on ESPN. It will be on ESPN. Okay, so that's good. This is a UFC and ESPN card. Lots of exposure. Now, our own Damon Martin spoke to Giga earlier this week, recently. And one of the things Giga said was that, you know, he thinks Barboza looks great when he's kind of fighting guys who aren't like at his level in striking. You know, he's talking up the fight a bit, saying he's not super impressed with everything he's seen from Barboza. Jed, do you think there's any truth to that? That against a more technical striker like Giga, we might not see kind of the freewheeling, aggressive Edson Barboza we usually see?
No, that's categorically insane. Look, Edson Barboza has fought, honestly, quite arguably like the best run of competition of any non-champion in the history of the UFC. Like, he's looked good and he's looked bad, and has not had anything to do with them being quality strikers or not. Like, it has everything to do with how they fight. I'm not saying anything mind-blowing or whatever. Edson Barboza is the best fighter in the world when he gets to fight at his pace and range. And when he doesn't, he is much less effective. And Giga Chikadze is a great fighter who has not beaten anybody anywhere near the quality that Edson Barboza has competed against. And also doesn't really fight in a style that will make Barboza uncomfortable. I'm stoked about this fight. I think it's going to be awesome. But the idea that Barboza is like, he's lost to good strikers. No, Justin Gaethje isn't what you'd call a good striker. He hits really hard, and he caught him. But like, he's fought fine and beaten really quality strikers. He's beaten quality guys doing everything. He just has a clearly defined weakness. But fortunately, Giga's not going to exploit that. So we're just going to get an awesome display of kicking. It's going to be great.
Definitely an awesome display of kicking. The Giga kick versus, you know, whatever kicks that Barboza chooses to break out. I do want to stick on that. So I want to say the exact quote, because just so I'm representing Chikadze properly here. Because you're right, Jed. I mean, to say he hasn't fought high-level striking competition is somewhat insane. Some of the names, of course, he's fought Paul Felder, Justin Gaethje, Dan Hooker. And that's just recently. That's just recent opponents.
Pretty Tony Pettis, baby.
Anthony Pettis, yep. So a lot of good names. But I guess he gets saying from a technical standpoint, I guess guys who haven't done, excelled in traditional striking martial arts outside of MMA. So it's because Chikadze said he's done everything against way lower level strikers. He said there are levels in this game, in the striking especially. What has he done in kickboxing or karate? What is his accomplishment? I understand that it's beautiful when he's doing spinning, beautiful highlight kicks against someone that never did any high level striking in a fight. All this for me is nothing. Casey, now that you kind of hear that full quote, does it sound more or less insane?
Are they kickboxing this weekend?
What do you think of that?
Listen, glory, then okay.
Yeah. But what's the question? Is it going to be an awesome fight? Is that what you're asking? What are you asking?
No, not as going to be awesome. Is there any merit to Chikadze questioning the level of striking competition that Barboza has faced supposedly in MMA?
No. I mean, I don't understand what Chikadze is trying to say. Edson Barboza is one of the, I basically, I hate saying this. I agree with Jed. He said everything right. Jed got no. Barboza, when you look at his resume, it's freaking incredible. He's on that real that kind of short list of unbelievably good MMA fighters who might never fight for a UFC title. You know, just because they're just, you know, kind of like Musasi. He's kind of like that level. Just like clearly incredibly A-level talent. Just the way the matchmaking works, he just loses to that champ right before, you know, to get to that championship fight. You know, losing to guys like Khabib before Khabib was champ, things like that. Gaethje, you know, guys who, you know, really good fighters. I don't know. I love Edson Barboza. He looks amazing at 45. I thought he beat Dan Ige. He thought he beat Mr. Felder. I think that was that a 55? That was a 55, right?
That was his last 55.
Yeah, it was last 55 fight. I don't know. I mean, Giga says what he wants, says what you want. Yeah, Edson Barboza's an MMA fighter. He fights MMA fighters. So, yeah, he's not fighting, you know, Holskin or anything like that. So, I'm not sure what's his issue, honestly. Maybe if it makes him feel better, makes him feel more confident, cool.
Now, Casey, I want to pick up something else. I want to pick up something you just said, Casey, that you don't know if Barboza, like, is he, you know, is he kind of this, you didn't use the word, but kind of a high level gatekeeper. Do you really not feel that there's a path? Let's say he beats Giga on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I personally don't think that puts him very far away from potential featherweight title shots. But I mean, do you think that door is really like that kind of closed for him?
I don't think it's closed. I mean, I think that's why he's at 45, because it did close for him at 55, unfortunately.
Okay.
For him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But true, that's why I'm at 45. But, I don't think the UFC really believes in Barboza in the sense of he can move the needle. Like, as a hardcore fan, he's an exciting fighter, but I kind of put him in that Vicente Luque area where he's extremely exciting, but since he's not a shit talker, fans just don't care. And if fans don't care, the UFC doesn't care. And that's why I feel like Barboza's in. Giga, even though he's not a shit talker, he's still new. The story is new, you know, so fans like fresh faces. So I think that's why.
Undefeated in the UFC. Yeah.
Undefeated in the
Unblemished.
UFC.
Right.
Contender Series washout.
Austin Springer. Austin Springer. Where's he at? Go ahead. Sorry.
But I don't think the door is closed for him at 45. I just think it's a very hard road for him within the UFC and how the UFC, I think, looks at Barboza.
Jose, do you think a big win, a convincing win, whether it be a knockout or a convincing 5-round decision win, how close do you think that gets Edson to possibly fighting for that 145-pound title?
I mean, I feel like Edson's always going to be fairly close just because he fights so many high-level fighters in general. Like, he'll lose, like, what, he lost two in a row in his first fight at 145 was against Dan Ige, who then headlined a fight night immediately after. So I feel like a loss or a win, Edson's still going to fight someone in the top 10, regardless of how he wins or loses. I think featherweight's a little weird right now, just because I know Max Holloway's tied to Yair Rodriguez because their first fight fell out. Max Holloway's quote unquote not cleared to fight. But then if I'm Max Holloway's camp, I'm obviously going to want to hold out because we're very close to the Ortega-Volkanovski fight. And if Brian Ortega wins, you'd have to assume Max Holloway can just fight Brian Ortega, considering Max Holloway's already beaten Brian Ortega. And that just kind of ties up the fights even more. So maybe the winner gets Yair or is a beat if he ever returns. So maybe one or two wins away. But I think it really just all depends on how this featherweight title fight happens. Because if Volkanovski wins, then Max isn't going to get a title fight. And then for all we know, Giga could just skip the line all over again. So one or two probably be more realistic, but that answer could change after Ortega and Volkanovski fight. And again, they were already scheduled to fight in March, and that fight didn't happen. And how close were we to that fight? So fingers crossed the featherweight title fight even happens.
Yeah, I think, you know, we always want to look at these kind of fight nights. And like, in a perfect world, you know, every fight night main event would be either a number one contender's bout or at least, you know, definitively put the one away. And I think this is like the third fight night in a row, the third UFC Vegas in RHC, where we don't really get the sense of that a win, you know, again, competitive matchups, but a win doesn't necessarily put either guy like in a significant position. So like Hall, Strickland, Cannonier and Gaslam, and now Barboza and Giga. Again, I'm not saying anything bad about these fights.
What are these guys ranked at right now?
Everyone who kind of like looking for that direct narrative of will this get a title shot?
In the MMA fighting global rankings, which will change in 3 days, keep in mind, because it's the end of August. So these after this fight, they'll obviously be in a different category. Dan Ige sits at 9 and Giga sits at 12. And Ige and Arnold Barbosa, Allen.
Barbosa.
Yes. No. So Giga's 12, Barbosa's 9. Ige's 10 and Arnold Allen's 11. So that's sandwiched between them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's get right to the pick, and I'm going to go to Jed Meshew first. I think Jed Meshew. Unless Jed Meshew, you have any other thoughts on this matchup outside of that we haven't covered? Any angles you feel like you haven't covered?
My only other thought is that, like, it's not like Giga was the world's greatest kickboxer either. So his whole thing is it's not like he was some undefeated wonder kid. He washed out of kickboxing. Like, he has plenty of losses there, and this isn't a kickboxing match. And I'll lead that into. I think Barbosa's going to kick the shit out of him.
Like, oh, my.
Also, let's not forget to go off of what Jed is saying. His first, three to four fights were decisions, and two of them were very close splits. So it wasn't until recently he started finishing people, and until he fought and finished Cub Swanson, his string of fights were durable fight opponents, I should say, but not Cub Swanson level.
Yeah, I think that's fair, honestly. Exactly what Jose is saying. Like, Giga got tapped on the Contender Series like 3 years ago. That's not that far removed from that. If Barbosa wants to grapple him, he will be ahead by miles on the ground. I don't think he has to. Like I said, like, Giga's not going to – the way you beat Edson Barbosa is putting him on the back foot, and Giga's going to play at range with him. I think Barbosa kicks harder. Like, I think he just has more power than Giga. I think the leg kicks will be an enormous weapon, and I think he's just gonna beat the crap out of him, honestly. Like, I think this is a great setup fight for Edson Barbosa. It's an enormous leap up in competition for Giga. We haven't talked about that at all. Giga really has the Cub Swanson win, and God love Cub. Dude's a bit faded. So yeah, I think this is just an enormous step up for him, and good for him. He's talking his trash, and if he wins, he's right to the moon, but I just don't think he's winning.
He's going to kick the S word out of him. My goodness, the language. Very powerful prediction from Jed Meshew. I just want to say the odds right now are very, very close. Just looking at Tapology, Barbosa minus 115, Giga plus 100. It's essentially a pick 'em. It's so even. So just very, very minor odds favoring Barbosa. Casey, let me go to you next. Who's your pick here?
I'm very confidently going with Barbosa. I just think he's... like Jed said, I agree with him. I think Barbosa is a better MMA kickboxer. He's a much better wrestler, much better grappler, and just a better mixed martial artist. He's fought better competition. And I do not – and Barbosa seems to be handling this weight cut to 45 great. And nothing – there's no indication that Barbosa is well past his prime, maybe past his prime, but nothing significant. I think this is still the Barbosa that we've grown to love. And I think this is a bit of a showcase fight for Barbosa, but this is a great matchmaking by the UFC. I do like prospect, go Giga is an older prospect, but prospect versus vet. I do like the matchmaking. I think it's a win-win for the UFC, but I understand why Barbosa took this fight. I think it's a favorable matchup for him, even though it's someone behind him in the rankings, which I know fighters don't like to do, but one fighter obviously has to fight someone behind him. But in a main event spot, it's worth the risk, as the reward is very high for Barbosa. And I think he will win.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
You Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I can see him winning. I can see him winning a dominant decision.
Actually. Like a 49-46.
Yeah, something like that. The winners. I don't think Giga is going to be knocked out cold or anything. I think he's too good of a kickboxer for that. But I think it'll be very clear that Edson Barboza is the better mixed martial artist on Saturday night.
I haven't done my official predictions yet. I'm weirdly leaning towards Giga. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for it yet. People read my predictions on Saturday morning. Jose, I'll give you the last word on this one. How's it going to go down?
I think Edson Barboza wins, and I think it's going to be similar to what we saw against the Dan Hooker fight, where Giga is just too tough for his own good. And like, if you remember that fight, Dan Hooker kept trying to fight, and his body just kind of collapsed into itself in the second round because he was getting beat. Edson Barboza was standing in front of him, punching and kicking him, and his body just gave up on him. So Giga's not the biggest featherweight. Like I know Casey said the weight cut doesn't seem like it's a big issue for him, but I stood in an elevator with Edson Barboza right after the official weigh-ins, and he looked like death. Like, he looked like he was about to pass out from the elevator ride because of it went up quickly, and he was like, oh man, I'm about to fall down. Giga is obviously kind of he's not the most cut, durable, like I'm assuming durable fighter. So I just think Edson Barboza is just kind of going to piece him up on the feet until his body just gives out on him. And I don't understand Giga's saying that Edson Barboza, like, what has he done? Like, I literally just Googled Edson Barboza's Muay Thai accolades. He has every single award in like Brazilian Muay Thai. And if you're a three-time Brazilian Muay Thai champion, I'm assuming that is incredibly high-level striking down there. Like, good on you. So I'm picking Edson Barboza to win.
There you go. Barboza's across the board for everyone except for you guys. I, the host, am going with
Make Giga a choice.
Now. I'm going with Giga.
Edson Barboza is also a submission wrestling champion in Sao João de Barra. Yeah.
He's a BJJ brown belt, and I'm fourth round TKO leg kicks. That's the happens right
there. He won a fight. He in Muay Thai, he won three fights in three nights for the Demolition Fight Championship Grand Prix winner.
Guys,
good on you.
The Giga Hive is growing daily, and you guys are stirring the hive right now. I'm just letting
also,
you know.
Also, I do want to say he is potentially one fight. Well, he is. If he gets a fight of the night, he will sit atop the UFC record books for most fight of the nights. He's currently tied with Nate Diaz and Frankie Edgar with eight. Oh. He will be the first fighter in UFC history with 9 fight of the nights.
Gosh darn it.
He's only had one performance and two knockout of the nights. They've all been fight of the nights.
I've thrown up a poll asking people who's going to win so far. So for anyone watching live, please participate in this poll. Right now, 70% Barboza. Casey, sorry, were you going to say something?
That does worry me a bit, though, by winning so many fight of the nights. You win fight of the nights because you have to get punched, too, a lot. So, no, but Barboza seems to be handling all the wear and tear a lot. I mean, wear and tear. Seems to be handling those fight of the nights well. That was just something I didn't really account for.
Dude, I forgot about this. He and Gaethje won fight of the night for that one round. That one fight of the night, because that whole card was not like that interesting.
That wasn't a good card.
That was a really fun 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
He won fight of the night.
He got stabbed in the eye, and the UFC was like, that was kind of a weird ending.
That's a bummer.
So they kind of greased his pockets to say, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, guys, I think that's a pretty deep dive into the main event. Now, we've said on more than one, or I don't know if we've said it. I've heard people say that, you know, the second last fight on a card is not necessarily the co-main event by default. Like, we kind of just say everything that's the second last fight is the co-main event, but that's not necessarily how it should be billed. This is certainly a case where we do not have a traditional co-main event. As I'm sure everyone watching knows, as all you guys know, this is also serving as the Ultimate Fighter 29 finale. They're not calling it that. They're not advertising it as that. Like they've done every year ever. But now the return of Tough, apparently, they can't call it the Ultimate Fighter 29 finale. But that's what it is. We have a middleweight final, which will serve as the penultimate fight on the card. I won't say co-main, between Brian Battle and late notice replacement Gilbert Urbina. He's replacing Treshawn Gore, who was one of the favorites to win the show. Gilbert Urbina of the Urbina family, Jed, who have all been on The Ultimate Fighter. Elias and Hector were also on the show. And then the bantamweight final between Ricky Tercios and Brady Heaston. So I know, listen, I'm not going to lie to America. I know you guys, for the most part, did not watch The Ultimate Fighter. So we're not going to talk about those fights in depth. We'll come back to that later. In reality, the co-main event would probably be Kevin Lee moving up to 170 pounds to fight Daniel Rodriguez. So let's talk about that as if it is a co-main. Jed, I'll go to you first. We have seen Kevin Lee at 170 before, but this is sort of apparently a move up to welterweight in earnest. I believe he's there to stay now. How do you like the idea of him moving up and this particular matchup?
Didn't he say he was doing that last time? I thought last time he was moving up to welterweight in earnest.
Yeah,
and then he lost to another blown up lightweight and moved back down.
Kevin Lee's had a bit of up and down road. I think this time he means it, but you're right. It could, who knows? 6 months from now, it could be back down at 155, but it does feel like this is more permanent. So you're skeptical of the move. How do you like this first opponent for him, Daniel Rodriguez?
I think he's going to lose. I talked about it a lot on BTL this week. I am torn between absolutely loving Kevin Lee because he just says stuff, much of it objectively false. And as a man who does that himself, he is after my own heart. But some of the things he says is ridiculous. Like, I'm a top five welterweight. You super aren't. Like, you just super aren't. And
Did you not enjoy Khabib has never been challenged?
That was where we went on the whole road about it. He never fought a wrestler. Gaethje is like a substantially more accomplished wrestler than Kevin Lee is. And I just have to respect him just saying stuff, even when it's really obviously not right. And I feel like we're unfortunately going to get him another loss this week, but it's okay because he'll keep tweeting through it and it'll be fine. And he has the ability, like Kelvin Gastelum and Darren Till, and trying to think who else I have on this list of just spectacular fail uppers. Like, they just fail upward. And he's going to do that again, because I think Daniel Rodriguez is going to, like, I boil this fight down specifically to Kevin Lee couldn't deal with Ally Quinta's jab because he's, I don't know. Like, there still doesn't make sense to me he couldn't figure out Ally Quinta's jab. Daniel Rodriguez is a lot bigger, hits harder than Ally Quinta, and also has a pretty good jab. I think he's just going to do that to Kevin Lee, and Kevin Lee's going to lose. So I think this is bad for him, and I think we will probably see him back at lightweight, which is where he should be.
Dang.
I think that's where he really has a chance to make a run at a belt. And yeah, that's kind of my thoughts here.
So Jose, I was going to ask you, is this a fresh start for him? Because it's kind of weird to say that, though, because he's had, like, his losses have come against, like, the toughest guys that he could possibly fight. Charles Oliveira, RDA. And Ally Quinta. Twice. But again, twice. Sometimes a guy just has your number. And hey, Ally Quinta has a good jab, all right, Jed? And Tony Ferguson, of course, who during Tony Ferguson's run is just like a demigod at 155 pounds. So is there a better way to put this, Jose, calling it a fresh start at 170, if that is what this is? I mean, how do we kind of view right now, what's our initial, like, opinion of this chapter, this sort of quote-unquote new chapter for Kevin Lee?
To be determined, simply because, yeah, he's gone up to welterweight before, but he, like, mm-hmm. RDA, like Jed said, was just a blown-up lightweight who's now back at lightweight as it is. So I was really excited for the Sean Brady fight because I think Sean Brady is, like, a legitimate welterweight prospect and could very well be one of the better grapplers in the division and could very well be a top-five welterweight in, like, 18 months from now. Once that fight fell out, I was really hoping he didn't just get a blown up lightweight again, because I want to see how Kevin Lee does physically against a hulking welterweight. And Daniel Rodriguez that's a bad dude. Like, he's, as Tyron Woodley has said ad nauseum this fight week, he's about that life. Like, he'll fight you no matter where you are. The dude has a throat tattoo. Kevin Lee has a head tattoo. So this checks all the boxes. And what I want to see in a fist fight, just outrageously done. Well, let me rephrase. Exceptionally executed, outrageous tattoos. So I'm excited to see Kevin Lee fight a big welterweight. I want to see how he does, if he can hold him down, because Sean Brady and Daniel Rodriguez are very different in terms of fighting. Daniel Rodriguez is going to stand in front of you and just break brick, and Sean Brady is going to try to take you down and submit you. So I was excited for the Sean Brady fight simply because I want to see if Kevin Lee could hold his own on the mat against a welterweight, and now I'm excited to see if he can take down an actual welterweight. So different style of fights, but both of those fights would answer a lot of questions I have with Kevin Lee at welterweight. So ask me in our post show and I'll have a better answer for you. But if Kevin Lee believes that this is a fresh start, then who am I to argue with? The guy says a lot of things that I don't necessarily agree with, but I am all for fighters being hyper confident, even if it's delusional to a lot of other people.
Yeah. You mentioned the size thing. I think during the face-off with Daniel Rodriguez today, I think he was saying Daniel Rodriguez looked little. He's like, you're little compared to me. So there you go. They talk about that bristling, that insane confidence. I mean, I don't know.
He's just saying stuff, man.
I don't hate it. Like, there were moments where Kevin Lee was like, yeah, when I fight Khabib next year, I was like, well, you're not going to fight Khabib next year. But that's what he said. So, like, all power to you. He's like, you know, in like 3 years when me and George St. Pierre finally fought. And I was like, oh, okay, let's move on. But all power to you, man. Believe what you want.
Jose, can I get a quick assessment of the samurai head tattoo for Kevin Lee?
Head tattoos that wrap around as one big piece aren't really my style, but it is well done. Like, if you're gonna get that type of tattoo, I don't know who his tattoo artist is, so I can't plug it, but it's well executed. So are Daniel Rodriguez's tattoos. Again, I'm not in favor of big giant throat tattoos on myself, but if I am, I'll ask Daniel Rodriguez where he got his, because the line work and the shading are 10 out of 10.
Casey, we're in the video clip and clickbait business. Do you love Kevin Say Anything Lee?
No. No, I don't. It works for clicks. I think he believes it, and maybe that B-plus A-level fighters.
You couldn't even give him A. What a hero.
Damn it. Good thing we're not live. Woo.
I was gonna say, fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
And Casey, okay. Go ahead.
3, 2, yep. 1, boom.
Cut it in.
Top level fighters are super confident and they're a bit crazy. And maybe that's what Kevin Lee needs to kind of convince himself that, you know, the Charles Oliveira fight or whatever, you know, I don't know. Kevin Lee, he says things. Yeah, I really agree with, unfortunately, both these gentlemen say right here. They said everything I said. I think I like this fight a lot. It's completely different from the Sean Brady fight. I'm a big fan of Daniel Rodriguez. I'm picking Daniel Rodriguez, and I think he'll win pretty impressively, but as far as Kevin Lee goes, I agree with Jed. I think we'll see him back at 55 eventually.
Yeah.
He got his butt kicked by the champ. That's okay. That's why Charles Rivera is the champ. He kicks butts, and Kevin Lee is not the champ. So you got your butt kicked. So changing weight classes wasn't the answer, I think, for Kevin Lee. And I don't know. Kevin Lee's Kevin Lee. He's a personality.
Yeah, I think he went from one tough matchup to another. Jose brought, of course, the Sean Brady matchup a lot, which again was also been super tough. But I don't like his chances against Daniel Rodriguez too much. I'm also going D-Rod. Jose?
One thing I do like about Kevin Lee's talk is I believe this 100%, he is all in favor of fighting the guy that no one wants to fight in their backyard. I applaud that. He wanted to fight Gregor Gillespie in New York. He offered to fight Islam in Russia. He offered to fight Charles Oliveira in Brazil. So will he win any of those fights? Well, he won the Gregor fight, and he clearly won, and he lost the Oliveira fight. I would have loved to see him fight Islam Mahachev in Russia. Yes. And backstage in Madison Square Garden, someone brought up that fight and he goes, is it in Russia? And they're like, probably not. He goes, then no, I don't want to fight him unless it's in Russia. So all power to you, man. You're taking these fights that no one really wants.
And that's why we kind of like Kevin Lee, too, because he says these things. You're like, hell yeah, man, I like that. But then he says things like, dude, who are these 170s guys? What has Kamaru Usman really done? You know, things like that. It's just weird.
I'm seeing a lot of support for Kevin Lee in the comments. We got Mr. Good Time, Kamen Rider. Blessed. They're all picking Kevin Lee. So
his fight against Edson Barboza was fun too.
Hold on. So sorry, Jed, before I go to you, Jose. So you're saying you are picking Daniel Rodriguez as well?
I'm picking Kevin Lee.
You're picking Kevin Lee. Okay, Casey, you said Daniel Rodriguez. I also think Daniel Rodriguez. Jed, what's it going to be?
I feel like people think I'm hating on Kevin Lee, and I'm not. I love that Kevin Lee says stuff because he believes it. He's like Casey was saying, he's a B-level fighter with an A-level mentality. He is J.R. Smith, and J.R. Smith's my favorite basketball player of all time because he's
one of the greats.
Entirely irrationally confident, and it's awesome.
Two-time NBA champion. Kevin Lee should be so lucky. Kevin Lee should be so lucky.
And we haven't mentioned this at all. Kevin Lee, one of the best suited persons in the sport. Man has incredible style.
Yes.
Who's winning, Jed?
Oh, Daniel Rodriguez. He's going to jab Kevin Lee's face off.
3-1, 3-1 for Rodriguez. But it's a good matchup.
I am picking Rodriguez, but I do believe Kevin Lee can, if he wants to, make this a purely wrestling type MMA match, and he can grind out 15 minutes. I believe he can. But I don't think that's what Kevin Lee wants in this fight. I think he knows he needs to defeat Dan Rodriguez, D-Rod, very much more convincingly and with more excitement than a wrestling base to win, which I don't think he'll do. So that's why I am still picking D-Rod.
All right. Well, this is the section of the show normally where we go to a sleeper. I almost feel like we shouldn't just skip over the middleweight opener between Mahmoud Muradov and Gerald Meerschaert. It's a great fight. Muradov's on a, 14-15 fight win streak or something like that?
He's part of the money team. He's the first MMA fighter Floyd Mayweather ever signed.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
That was my low-key banger of the week on BTL this week.
All right, I love that fight.
Let's go. He's 14 straight wins representing the he's from Tajikistan. I believe he does represent the Uzbeks at this point. But either way, shout outs to Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. But yes, he will be opening against Gerald Meerschaert, the veteran. Very good matchup. Again, we talked about good matchmaking. Again, aside from the three main card fights that were actually put together as opposed to the result of the Ultimate Fighter, I love all the matchmaking. I love Barboza Chikadze. I like the Lee Rodriguez, even though I would rather had Brady, but we lost that twice. And I love Meerschaert and Muradov. So let's not go too much on this, guys, but I'll go who's going to win the fight and give me your thoughts on it. Jose, start us off.
With Mahmoud? The Mahmoud fight?
Yeah, the Mahmoud and Meerschaert, yes.
Oh, I'm going to pick Mahmoud. I think he's just clicking on all cylinders right now. He hasn't lost in however long. And I spent a significant amount of time stuck in a hotel with a lot of fighters on Fight Island, and he was by far the friendliest one. Had to know everyone's name and backstory. He was very, very nice man.
He has a very nice smile. That way. I was going to say, he looks like
Don't know what he looks like when he's not smiling.
I don't want to know. Yeah, no, he looks like a good dude. So other than that, I mean, I guess we've only seen him fight. What is he now in the UFC?
3-0.
Okay. So I mean, based on all that, how high are you on this guy, Jose, as a potential middleweight contender?
In middleweight, I feel like it's pretty top heavy right now. So I feel like he could just kind of fly up the rankings with another strong performance. If I remember correctly, the Andrew Sanchez was like a flying knee, right? And it was like, so if he gets a third straight knockout, then give him a top 15 guy and Wilson, let him swim with the sharks. So I'm pretty high. I don't know if he'll be champion, but you're 25-6. You've clearly fought a lot of high level competition. So top 10, maybe not top 5.
Jed, how do you like this matchup? Who wins it?
This fight's awesome. Mahmoud is really – it's very simple. Mahmoud is very good at fighting, and Gerald Meerschaert is really good at losing in spectacular fashion. So,
oh, my goodness.
Look, Meerschaert is like a decent fighter, but when he loses impressively, and that is what is going to happen on Saturday. And so it's going to be dope. Mahmoud is – I think he is definitely a top 10, maybe a top 5, or even an outside bout of the title. Maybe not getting one, but fighting for one at least. I like this kid a lot, and Gerald Meerschaert is built for this exact role. So yeah.
Casey, what do you think the odds are? Obviously, Muradov is a heavy favorite.
Hold on.
Uh huh.
There's a gentleman cleaning my window right now.
Okay. So yeah, tell him what's up. Tell him what's up.
Ask how he feels about it.
No, ask him about the Ultimate Fighter finale.
I'm like on the sixth floor in a hotel, and there's just this man just banging on my window, hitting the like, windows. It's awesome. Sorry, Ricky I thought like Spider-Man was sneaking in. Sorry.
Ricky Tercios, don't sleep on him. Okay, so Muradov, heavily favored. I assume – I haven't looked at all the odds. Pretty sure the biggest favorite on the card. Casey, how high do you think it is? How high do you think the odds are?
Oh, he's probably plus 400, I think.
Oh, you mean minus.
Yeah, minus.
Higher.
Oh, whoa,
higher.
Wow.
Way higher.
All right. Well, okay. I think that's a bit ridiculous. But I think I agree with everyone on the panel here. Muradov. You know, double Muradov. I think Muradov's I don't think he'll be fighting Izzy in the next couple years, but I think he'll be around the UFC for a while. And this is just good matchmaking. Gerald's that guy, kind of. You know, there's different levels of gatekeeping, and Gerald's that guy to prove if you want to eventually be a top 10 middleweight, you gotta beat the crap out of Gerald, and that's what this is for. Gerald's a good fighter. He's a good fight night fighter, and this is what he's around for. And I expect Muradov to look good tonight or tomorrow night.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
-630 favorite, and Mearshart, you actually were close with the odds there. He's plus 450 underdog, so huge amount of respect for Muradov in this one. And
that's really impressive for someone. I feel like,
right?
If you had like a UFC fan convention, like there'll be like three fans in line for him. But right. It's just.
I think
92% picking on Topology, picking Muradov, 92%, 85% by knockout.
Beating Gerald Mearshart is like, I couldn't think of the last like four or five losses of Gerald Mearshart's career. And they are Thiago Santos, Jack Hermanson, Kevin Holland, Eric Anders, Ian Heinisch, and Khamzat.
Yeah.
You beat Gerald Mearshart violently. Yeah. You're probably a top 10 fighter at your weight class.
You're pretty good.
At some point.
At some point. Because right, obviously none of these fighters were top 10 when they fought.
Yeah.
Let me run down the rest of the card here, boys. So I mentioned the two tough finals. There's also another fight featuring tough contestants. Andre Petroski, who was one of the top picks going into the show. He lost in semifinals against new Dana White favorite Michael Gilmore. For anyone who didn't watch the show, Michael Gilmore quit his job so that he could, his full-time job, so that he could be a reserve. For, not so he could be on The Ultimate Fighter, so he could be on standby for a reserve spot. Unsurprisingly, Dana White said, I love this guy, and this is exactly what the UFC is all about on the show. on the prelims, we Alejo Di Chirico versus Abdulrazak Al-Hassan. Sam Alvey at 185 facing Wellington Turman. Dustin Jacoby fighting Darren Stewart in a light heavyweight bout. Flyweights JJ Aldrich, and I think this is she's making her debut, LFA's Vanessa Demopoulos. Featherweights Jamal Emmers and Pat Sabatini. And what was supposed to be a bantamweight bout between Manny Martinez and Guido Caneti. Martinez missed weight by 4 pounds. It's been a rough month for him. He is also probably still mourning the loss of his coach, Saul Solis. So not making any big excuses for a weight miss, but it's been kind of screwed. He was also supposed to fight last weekend and it got pushed back because of COVID protocols. So yes, you should, of course, it's your job to make weight, but I'm going to cut Martinez a little bit of slack here. It has been a difficult August for him. So, guys, any of those matchups you guys feel like expanding on?
Yeah. Dustin Jacoby versus Darren Stewart. Freaking rules. Okay. I love watching Dustin Jacoby fight. Like, I know we talked about I was about to say we were talking about Giga Chikadze being kind of like washed out and kickboxing and this and that. Dustin Jacoby at like he was a legitimate top 10 kickboxer in glory in his weight class. I'm not talking about like pound for pound. Whatever weight class he fought, he was a legitimate like top 10 middleweight. Didn't get to throw elbows because you know how in glory they're not allowed to throw elbows when they clinch up. His first fight on the Contender Series, he just destroyed Alistair Overeem's training partner with a bunch of elbows. Like, he had been waiting to do that for, like, 6 years. His first two fights in the UFC before he washed out weren't even televised. They got bumped from Fuel TV, and then one of them was on Facebook prelims. And then comes out here and just smashes the door in. So I am so excited. I love watching Dustin Jacoby fight in glory, and I was really excited to see him come back in the UFC. And Darren Stewart is just a really awesome interview and an incredibly durable guy who he might not have the most exciting fights, but he can take a lot of damage and put out a lot of damage. Has also walks out to Skepta, and I will support anyone that chooses to walk out to Skepta before a fist fight. So Dustin Jacoby versus Darren Stewart might not be the most high level martial arts competition in terms of like rankings wise, but I am not missing that fight.
Okay. Well, that's a good, you should do this for Dana White. Dana White loves selling these, you know, if you don't know, now you know fights. That was a priority. If you don't know, now you know promo. Casey, you feeling the same way? You're just excited for Jacoby?
It's a fight. It's good for those gentlemen. I hope it's a good fight. I don't have very much to say for that fight.
Jed, did any of these matchups I've ran down register? Can you name this is a memory test. Can you name one of the matchups that I just ran down for you?
Besides
Jacoby Stewart.
I bet you did the Dechirico Razak Al Hassan.
Yes.
You probably said that, right?
Yes,
because that's like named. I'm halfway there with Jose. Dustin Jacoby's really cool. Unfortunately, he's fighting Darren Stewart, who is just a sieve of entertainment. So I don't know what happens when an entertaining dude and a not entertaining dude match up, but it might not be great viewing. No, the rest of this card is fine. I have some marginal interest in like some of these fights. Sam Alvey is an awful fight to watch, but Wellington Turman has the best name in the sport, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, this could be a winner go home. I shouldn't say could be. I believe this is. I believe Sam Alvey has said like he had to ask the UFC for like one more shot. So this could be the last time.
Is that how it works in the UFC? You just go, hey, can I have one more shot? And they're like, cool.
Well, it didn't work that way for Damian Maia. It didn't work that way for Damian Maia, apparently. Yeah. So I don't know.
No, Damian Maia just needs to go to Vegas and wait for somebody to drop out and then get called in, and Dana will be like, I really like this guy. He's what we're going for. And then you get
like 205 or like 205 or something like that. Oh, yeah, he stepped in at 205. What a legend.
Sam Alvey is also one of those fighters that complains about fighters complaining about pay, which I'm sure Dana White loves.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say the difference between him and Maia is I think like Alvey has a fight left on his contract. And it's like, you know, I think he was just worried that they just weren't going to give him that last fight because he's on a pretty big winless streak. So, I mean, Maia had fought out his contract. I think Alvey did have one left. And he's like, please let me be on my wonderful UFC contract for one more fight.
Wait, one, two, three, four. Oh, he's on a five fight losing streak.
None of them were entertaining.
Are particularly memorable. It's tough. So look, we know
no one was even in the top. Maybe Nogueira was like in the top.
He lost to Little Nog in the year of our Lord 2018. He lost to William.
Oh my goodness.
Sam Alvey's biggest, most memorable moment of the last few years was he was the first fight on the first ever pandemic card. He walked out high-fiving a bunch of all the invisible fans.
In Brazil?
No, he fought Ryan Spann in Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. Thank you. The official pandemic card.
We had to do all the testing, quarantines, and everything.
Well, listen, guys. Listen, the UFC has been over-delivering with some pretty understaffed, as far as star power goes, cards. Let's put it nicely.
No. The UFC hadn't delivered crap. The fighters delivered good performances.
Yes, thank you.
Don't give the UFC credit for making bad fights. And
you're
then
right.
They
you're right. They are.
You're part of the problem, AK. You are.
Listen, I am impartial. Okay, I have to. If Mike Heck were here, I'd be giving, firing off hot takes left and right. But I am the host. I must remain impartial. I will let you guys fire off, which is what I'm about to do now. Because, again, yeah. You guys know I'm a tough maniac. So I want to close out talking a little bit about either The Ultimate Fighter or The Ultimate Fighter 29, if you happen to watch any of it, which I'm not sure you guys did. But I don't want to take too much time. So I'm going to give you all a minute to give me some general thoughts, please, on The Ultimate Fighter before we sign out of here. You know what, Casey, I'll start with you. I know you're itching to talk about The Ultimate Fighter. And I know you watched every episode of the season, as I did. What do you think about The Ultimate Fighter? What is actually The Ultimate Fighter 29 finale that's happening on Saturday? And I'll give you a soft timer here.
Wait, do I have a minute to think of an answer to say? Is that what? Or just
I have a minute? I mean, you do not have to use your full minute if you do not have a.
Let's change it up, Casey. Word association.
Okay.
The Ultimate Fighter 29. All right, your word is The Ultimate Fighter 29.
Canceled
season.
Oh. Canceled.
The season was not canceled.
Canceled?
I did see a lot of unfortunate. All right, okay. So that's, you know what, that's okay. You know, I did see a lot. Oh, go ahead.
When I shit on The Ultimate Fighter, I'm not shitting on the fighters. I get everyone's trying to get an opportunity. And I'm not crapping on any of the athletes, and if they're good roommates or not, I don't know. I don't know. I like this word association game. Just keep playing.
Let's go to Jed next. Jed, The Ultimate Fighter. Jed, The Ultimate Fighter 29.
So I didn't watch the show, but I did this past week watch all the fights, so I could feel like I had at least some context about.
And they were good, right? The fights were good.
Yeah, well, most of them were at least some level of okay. I mean, good is very relative when you're talking about this level of talent. Really, I just have one thought, and it's I'm so proud that Gilbert Urbina gets to follow in the proud footsteps of his family by losing on Tough for a second time. Because and Brian Battle's like not very good, and I still think he's going to win. And it's awesome that he was the last pick, and he's going to have won the middleweight tournament. This thing is just a gong show, and Tough is majestic. That's my thoughts.
Thank you, Jed. Yes, Trayshawn Gore was probably the most coming out of the show, and the one people were most excited about. And as we said, he's got some sort of injury, and we will get a fight in the UFC. Just won't be competing in the finale. You guys, I think, would really have loved Ricky Tercios, though. He's kind of like a bantamweight Diego. If you guys had watched more of the season, Jose, please, I'll give you the final word here.
Interesting fighter. Like, he's probably the most interesting fighter, but he's still washed out on Contender Series, and he's going to win Tough. Like, come on.
Jose, The Ultimate Fighter 29, go.
There was a lack of ping pong balls and seating and ceremonies for my liking. I've been saying for years, the only change that would make me tune into The Ultimate Fighter in any form would be if they made it like the K1 seating or what Bellator did with their featherweight Grand Prix. With the ping pong balls and like you get to like physically walk up on a stage and stand in front of like a 10-foot bracket. Remember what K1 did that? That was always fun. So until that happens, I don't know how often I'll be watching, but all power to the fighters.
Hopefully. Dude, they make it a falls count anywhere, Ultimate Fighter. You could just pick a fight with a dude in the house.
We figured it out already, Jed. The answer is an entire season of only coaches' challenges.
I do wish they would bring back the insanely dangerous challenges from the first three seasons. Those were
we talked
scary.
About this on the Ace on the one of the older episodes of the Ace Side, and Casey, Sean, and I agreed the next season should be Marv Vittori and Paulo Costa only doing coaches' challenges.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be. Forget, I would watch the hell out of that. Actually,
you know, but like they have to be they have to be intellectual ones, like chess and Scrabble and Scattergories.
Boggle. Boggle. Vittori and Costa playing Boggle.
No, it's and the finale is charades to see if the other one can figure out what the other one is physically doing up in front of them.
Boys, I love the suggestions. I watched the show religiously. But I do think it needs some sort of spruce up. As I told people, I talked about it on other shows. If you had not known that there was a hiatus between the most recent season of The Ultimate Fighter and this one, you'd just be like, oh, okay, it was never taken off the air. It was never like put in for retooling. It's the exact same show as it was for probably the past like maybe 10, 12 seasons. Like there just has not been a change. So
But Alexander Volkanovsky filled the room with clocks, AK. That's captivating.
Oh, that was that was so crazy. That was great. The clock because our takeover was always late.
What? I missed it?
No cap, guys. Am I right? Is that what the kids say? No cap.
Savage pranks from Volkanovsky filled the room with clocks.
The snake one was good. All right, guys, listen. We've talked way too much about this card. People are going to hear a lot more from us as we tomorrow because we're going to be talking about – well, I think we're going to do a weigh-in show.
In the morning,
at 8:30 Eastern time, 5:30 Pacific time. So please tune in. I believe we'll be, Jose, you'll be here.
I don't know if it'll be on the broadcast, but I'll be doing all the clipping that you'll see on our social media.
I think I'm here with you.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll be up bright and early to talk about that, and then we'll have a proper preview show for that as well later. But guys, thank you everyone for tuning in. By the way, 65% Edson Barbosa. Let me shut down this poll now. So pretty strong feelings that Barbosa will be winning Saturday's main event. And guys, of course, we'll also have post-fight show for Vegas and on to the next one on Sunday and all kinds of programming. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Jose, Jed, Casey. This is Alexander Cayley signing off for the UFC Vegas 35 preview show. Take care, everybody.
I didn't get to play the out music. All right.
Whatever. Happy birthday, AK.
Yeah, happy birthday, AK.
Summer birthday. Don't play the birthday song.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.